case in our calendar is 96-25-16, United States Fidelity and Guarantee Company versus Lightning Rod Mutual Insurance Company. Mr. Willard.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the Court, Counsel. My name is Robert Willard. I represent the appellant USFG in this matter, and I'd like to reserve a couple of minutes of my time as well. This case is before the Court on a certified conflict between the decision of the Court of Appeals in this case and the decision of Franklin County Court of Appeals in a similar matter. It started as a declaratory judgment action to determine whether coverage existed under the Lightning Rod policy for an insured who was delivering pizza at the time of the accident. The accident occurred in November of 1991 when Ina Spurlock was delivering a pizza for her employer, Pizza People, which is a Domino's franchise. As she was making a delivery, she was involved in an accident with Mr. Robert Shaw, which gave rise to the underlying bodily injury suit. In her job with Domino's, Ms. Spurlock did a number of things, including opening the store, taking orders, making pizzas, cleaning up, and at times delivering when it was necessary. For these services, she was paid a flat hourly rate, no matter what she was doing. And if she was out driving in the business, such as delivering pizza, she would receive 18 cents a mile to reimburse her for wear and tear and gasoline.
And she also was paid by the pizza company while she was driving her car, right? At her regular wage or whatever it was.
She received a flat hourly rate, yes.
That's not a fee?
In our view, no.
Is it compensation?
It is compensation for her, but it is not a fee specifically for delivering the pizza. There was no separate charge for the delivery.
Would she have driven her car and delivered pizza had she not been paid by her employer to do it?
Would she have driven her car? Probably not. I mean, at times, I think there's evidence in the record that sometimes she would use company cars if those were available. If not, the drivers would use their own cars, for which they were required to have insurance.
Is there any evidence that when she applied for her insurance with Lightning Rod that she indicated that she would be doing pizza deliveries as part of the normal use of the car?
Well, this is the point that Lightning Rod has brought up, Your Honor, that we didn't...
What's the answer to my question first?
Is there evidence that she misrepresented it?
No, is there evidence that she disclosed in any form or fashion she would be driving her car while being employed for somebody?
The evidence would indicate that she did not.
And so does it not follow that when they gave her insurance, they assumed normal family use and did not assume she would be driving all over the city in all sorts of parts of town delivering pizza?
Well, number one, I don't think that issue was ever raised in the pleadings. The sole issue was the sole basis for denial of coverage by Lightning Rod was the 4B exclusion. There was nothing brought up in the pleadings at any time throughout this matter about the wrong misrepresentation.
Isn't that inherent in why you have an exclusion of that sort, is that you don't insure for unintended risks that normally would follow in a business setting? You're assuring for family use in a family policy? That's the whole purpose of why you put an exclusion in it.
Well, the exclusion is obviously to limit coverage to areas that the company may not want to underwrite. I would point out, as we have in the brief, so this particular Lightning Rod policy does cover some business uses, particularly if you look at the definition of insured, which would require Lightning Rod, in a situation like this, to provide coverage for Ms. Spurlock's employer.
If they contracted for it and paid extra premium,
well, it's in the definition of insured in the policy that under certain circumstances, Lightning Rod can be required to provide a defense and provide coverage for an insured's employer, somebody who's vicariously liable for the conduct of the insured. Now, to also address your point, as we pointed out in our brief, there are cases that this court has decided where the ultimate result of which has been to extend coverage in commercial settings, in personal automobile liability policies or other policies where perhaps the insurance company may not have intended it or maybe didn't think that extended.
If lightning rod, if we find lightning rod does not cover this, does your policy cover it? Are we talking about primary nexus, or talking about you're denying coverage also?
No, no, we're not denying coverage. What happened in this particular situation was, after the accident occurred, Ms. Furlock went to lightning rod, said provide them with a defense. Lightning rod says, no, we're not going to.
So
USMG is the excess carrier then for the...
So you're arguing primary excess, but you're not going to deny coverage entirely. You're not denying coverage.
No, USMG did not deny coverage. In fact, did provide a defense and ultimately settled the underlying bodily injury suit, which involves some serious injuries. So no, they did not leave her dangling in the wind. They dropped down and took care of that. The point here, what we're trying to do is establish that lightning rod, number one, has coverage. And I think it's been conceded in the briefs that if lightning rod does have coverage, under the language of the policy and the law of the state, lightning rod's policy is primary and USMG is excess. So what we're looking for is a declaration that coverage exists under that policy, that lightning rod should pay its $50,000 limits to reimburse USMG for what it's already paid out, and the lightning rod should be responsible for USMG's attorney's fees and expenses in defending not only the underlying bodily injury suit, but also in prosecuting this declaratory judgment action.
Does USMG give Domino's Pizza a break in the cost of their policy because they use insured, individually insured drivers that are insuring their own policies? Is there a break in their policy? Do you have any treatment for that?
I don't know the answer to that, Your Honor. I don't think there's anything in the any evidence in the record that would answer that question one way or the other.
Because one of the arguments is the public policy argument of cost shifting. It should be a commercial expense. It should be Domino's expense to carry insurance. And there's a tendency among employers to shift more and more of these costs to part-time workers, or you have to use your own insurance company, or the cost shifting issue. What is your response to that?
Well, there was the evidence in the record indicates that Domino's did require its drivers to have insurance of their own if they're going to use their own car in delivering pizzas, and that the insurance be in certain minimum amounts acceptable to Domino's.
And does it require them to use their own car?
In this particular case, I think the evidence shows that in many cases that is what in fact happened. But this Domino's franchise did have some company vehicles that were used by drivers at times to make deliveries. But many of the drivers, and Ms. Furlock in this particular instance, did drive their own vehicles. There are two main points that we would make in this particular situation. The first is that Ms. Furlock, under the facts and circumstances of this case, was not carrying property for a fee within the meaning of the exclusion. She was paid for the time that she spent and the distance that she was traveling, but there's no evidence that her pay in this situation was dependent upon her actually carrying property for pizza.
Well, I guess that's we're sort of splitting hairs, I guess, which is why these cases get here, but she wouldn't have been delivering the pizza if she was not compensated by her employer to do it, would she? I mean, she was to be paid. The word fee is probably not the best word, but if fee is compensation, she's being compensated. It's a part of her job, isn't it? In fact, it was a major part of her job when she went back to work.
Well, I don't think the record would indicate it was a major part of her job, Your Honor. It was a part of her job at times to deliver. I think therein lies the problem. Is the ambiguous nature of the term fee as it's used in this case. It is not defined in the policy in any fashion. And the case law that we have cited in Ohio that has dealt with this issue, not only the 10th District Court of Appeals decision, but the supplemental authority we filed from the Common Police Court in Lucas County, have found that that was ambiguous. Lower courts in other contexts have found the 4B exclusion ambiguous as well. And I think that's the crux of it here. The law is well settled. If there's an ambiguity, it must be construed against the insurance company and in favor of the insured, in this case, Ms. Furlock. And that's the point. Why the law chose the language that's to be used. I would make an analogy to the intentional act exclusion in policies. Following this court's decision in Swanson versus Pico on the intentional act, companies responded by changing the definition or expanding the definition of an intentional act exclusion in their policy. I would suggest that if this court finds coverage in this case under the lightning rod policy because their exclusion is ambiguous, then the insurance industry will have to respond accordingly, and they are the ones that can make the exclusion more precise to deal with these situations. I think that this court's decision can have far-reaching consequences in this case, because if you adopt lightning rod's position that anytime anybody is driving their own vehicle and they're receiving a fee of any or payment of any kind, then there's no liability coverage. If my secretary, we get in her car and she drives me up to the courthouse, she's receiving payment from me, a salary, and she gets in an accident under their interpretation.
You wouldn't be exactly called property, would you?
I'm sorry?
You would be exactly called property.
I would hope not, but the exclusion is persons or property, carrying persons or property for a fee. Another example would be if you have an employee run a bank deposit down the street to the bank. They're carrying property, checks. If they get in an accident, there's an argument that now there's no coverage. Maybe it's not something that they do every day. Maybe it's a once in a while thing. And I think they can reasonably expect they should have coverage under their policy if they get involved in an accident.
Is it your contention that the word fee here would apply to only a situation where somebody says, I'd like a ride to Toledo, and the driver says, okay, I'll give you a ride to Toledo for $50, or, you know, something such as that, where there's a specific charge for a specific use of the automobile. Is that?
I think that's a fair reading of what the exclusion, or how the exclusion should be interpreted. The problem is, and the term fee is susceptible to different interpretation. We would say that we would accept that definition and say in this particular case, since she, Linus Prolock, did not receive a specific fee for delivering this pizza, that she was just getting a regular hourly wage, that the exclusion does not apply, that coverage exists. But at the very least, the way it's written, it is ambiguous.
But that, you know, that would seem to be, I mean, I guess I agree with your answer, except that would seem to be sort of counter to what the insurance company is trying to do here. And as Justice Stratton suggests, it seems to me, you know better than I, but representing insurance company, but it seems to me they're trying to have two levels of coverage. One is the person who uses their car as a family automobile or personal automobile, and it's not a commercial vehicle, as distinguished from someone who uses their vehicle in their business or for a fee or for compensation. There are two levels of risk, I would assume, and exposure for the insurance company, are there not? Isn't that the whole basis of this kind of language?
Yes, in terms of underwriting a risk like this, certainly, Your Honor, the companies are going to look at it and personal use is going to be rated in a different fashion than business use.
And don't personal users of purchasers of insurance have some interest in having two different levels? I mean, why would someone who is buying insurance just for their personal use of a car want to pay a premium that reflects those who use their automobile for commercial purposes?
I don't think they would. I agree there's going to be different levels, but in this particular situation, as I said, I don't think there's any evidence of any intentional misrepresentation or concealment or fraud.
Well, take that out of it. Take that out, but look at the fact that she was using her automobile for commercial purposes. I mean, wasn't she? She was using it to deliver pizzas, which is fairly commercial.
Well, but the exclusion does not talk about commercial
right.
purposes. It talks about carrying persons or property for a fee. And again, I would point out this court's decision of Nationwide versus Stanton and Martin versus Midwestern, where the effect of the decisions in Nationwide versus Stanton, it exposed a personal auto carrier to a commercial risk. In Martin versus Midwestern, UM coverage was provided for injuries sustained by somebody on a motorcycle who the motorcycle was not insured under the policy and there was no premium paid. So my point is that what an insurance company understood it was covering or not covering is not necessarily relevant to the interpretation of the policy. I see that my time is up at this point. I would simply ask that the court reverse the decision of the Court of Appeals, declare that coverage exists under the lightning rod policy, and remand the case to the trial court for further calculation of attorney's fees and expenses.
Thank you, Mr. Willard. Mr. Malika.
May it please the court, good morning, my name is Andy Malika, and I represent Lakeland Mutual Insurance Company.
Mr. Malika, if this lady had taken her neighbor to the lake in exchange for $25, and the accident had occurred then, instead of her being in a totally commercial context, would your company have denied coverage?
I don't know, arguably yes, but I can tell you that in this specific circumstance, under these facts, they definitely did deny coverage because it clearly was a commercial activity.
But that problem is that, as he points out, if we say this is such a commercial activity because it says 4 feet, and that almost any time there would be a reimbursement even for mileage on a carpooling arrangement, you would be in a position to deny coverage.
I appreciate that problem. I just don't think that that situation is that it rises to the same level of commercial activity that you have here.
I don't either, but I'm asking you, would you deny coverage? And if you just take 4 feet, being anything paid to the conveyor, then...
Yes, I think you could deny coverage based on the application of that exclusion.
Is that a good public policy?
I don't know. All I can tell you is in this particular circumstance, if I may address some of the questions that Justice...
I want to ask you a question first, Counselor.
Yes, ma'am.
It seems that this is something we look at in, under contract law, so we look at the words and the phrases, and we construe any ambiguity against the draft of the contract, which is, in this case is your client.
Yes, ma'am, I agree with that. So.
Yeah, and in this argument and in the Court of Appeals opinion and certainly even the questions from this bench, you keep necessarily continue to refer to the commercial purposes or the commercial use when we're talking about that phrasing. How do you get around the fact that those words, commercial use, were not employed in this contract? Rather, the other words, which may mean that you have to specifically, in order to be excluded, the coverage to be excluded, one has to carry the property-specific act has to be of carrying, has to be get a fee for the act of delivering the pizza.
If I understand what you're asking, why wasn't
you would have an easy case if the language of the policy were
sure, I wouldn't
in
be here.
Commercial use.
I think that the language is comprehensive and includes many types of commercial activities, and I think that's why they did that way. You could go anywhere from delivering pizzas and subs to couriers, UPS or FedEx delivery, movers, taxi services.
All of which sound to me, that language sounds to me like it was intended for common carrier type activities as opposed to possibly deliveries, taxis and trucking.
Well, I guess if I consider delivering pizza common carrier type activity too, I think that the facts fall within the exclusion easily. If that's what you're asking, you have the act of delivering the pizza constitutes carrying. The pizza obviously is the property, and the payment of the wages falls within the fee. I think that the exclusion clearly applies in this case. You don't really need to use the phrase commercial activity. What's going on?
Well, the word fee, though, is a term of art, isn't it? I mean, fee has a clear definition. Company could have used compensation if it had meant to be as broadly applied as it was applied here. Why isn't it this is a homeowner's policy, I assume, or at least not a commercial, so-called commercial policy. Why doesn't it just apply to the incidents where someone has their family car and they decide to take someone to the lake for $25. Why isn't that the extent of the exclusion because of the word fee?
I'm not sure if I follow your question.
Well, the word fee if the company had meant to exclude all sorts of activity where the driver's being paid for driving and with property or person, it seems to me the word compensation would have been a much better term to use. It would have covered this situation, it seems to me. She was clearly being compensated for delivering pizza.
Perhaps.
But the company chose the word fee, which suggests to me that it is a specific charge for a specific act. If this is not a policy that covers a common carrier, for example, where everything's
perhaps by fee. To me, fee constitutes or means to me compensation. This is a semantic thing. That's the way I understand fee as a form of compensation. In this case, she wasn't really compensated. She just paid her out of the wage. I think it's also important to keep in mind in this case that Lightning Rod had no idea when he insured this lady that they were getting into a commercial enterprise here. The agent, deduced below, was specifically asked driver Spurlock if she was going to deliver pizzas, and she was advised that she was just going to work in SOC. It may be that she didn't know that at the time, and that she later started to drive it, but...
Counsel, this may be your case. Maybe you even arguably have some equities with you. Insuring some employee that you didn't contemplate was going to use their car this way, and the pizza company has its insurer who came in and picked up and all of that. But the rule you're asking us to write, I think, is what's troubling, and the examples your opponent raised of whether it's the lawyer or the realtor or the accountant whose secretary hops in her car and goes and picks up the mail or does sort of routine things that would benefit that employer. So that employer doesn't own any automobiles, so consequently they don't have insurance coverage. Now, if we write this rule of law, you would get into that you seem to suggest that the mere fact that they get a salary or a paycheck and they're on the meter for that paycheck while they're driving would put it within the realm of your exclusion, you would then create a situation in which we would be creating enormous gaps in insurance for literally hundreds of thousands of citizens in this state on a daily basis. And that can't be a good public policy, can it?
No, I don't think it could. My response to that would be simply, as counsel suggested, that the insurance policies would have to be rewritten to cover those kind of issues, and a consumer would have to be aware of that kind of thing in purchasing a policy. But I do know in this case,
well, how would you write it in this case to not open up that problem that you suggest yourself go down that road, then every insurance policy written in the state ought to be recrafted so those gaps aren't being created?
Well, I think that's going to happen out of this case is resolved. But I think that the way the exclusion is written now covers this situation. How would you write it? I would have to sit down and think about it. One thing I wanted to point out is the amount of use of the vehicle here was significant. From the day beginning January 1991 to the day of the accident, Spurlock drove for delivery pizzas 143 days. 125 of those were with her own vehicle, just 15 with the Dominus vehicle, and that vehicle had been used and was involved in the accident, which would be here. The other issue I wanted to discuss, and I take exceptionally, is what USFG is trying to do here, which is essentially, in my mind, create a subsidy for the pizza store and their insurers. Dominus required whoever Spurlock to have a set amount of insurance, and and the USF and G policy contains an excess provision which makes this coverage secondary. So what happens is the piece stores are, they do not have to pay for that first level of coverage, even though it's their drivers doing their work and blowing the accidents. The piece stores are shifting the expense of having to procure that first item insurance on the carriers like Lightenrod that did not especially contract to insure that risk or receive any premiums for it. So to avoid the shift, that's the purpose of the exclusion. So we don't have a personal auto policy covering an insurer's employer's business risks. That situation will be avoided if you make the exclusion enforceable and you force the business to procure insurance that actually provides the coverage. I think this is a very appropriate thing to do because the pizza stores are the ones benefiting from the profits of the driver's work, and often the insurers are the ones who are receiving the premiums for covering knowingly that risk.
Counsel, take your same case, and I'm still troubled. I'm not so troubled by your case as permutations of it. Say this employee always drove a company car, but on this particular night, it's cold, the battery's dead in the company car, and the pizza's getting cold quickly. So he or she jumps in their own vehicle and delivers the pizza. Still exclusion under your policy language?
Yes, I think that's a tough result, but that's just the way it is. She was using the car for a business purpose. She could have made arrangements to use another business car, and I appreciate that's a difficult scenario, but if you apply the exclusion to those facts, I think this covering falls within.
But your policy doesn't exclude it for business purposes?
Yes and no. I've been trying to follow the USF and G argument, and I would agree that there's some business use, but there certainly was no contemplation to cover a pizza delivery driver in this case, and that's what the exclusion.
But isn't the wording of the policy that we're concerned with in your policy?
Yes.
It doesn't say for business purposes, it says for a fee. And isn't that open to more than one interpretation?
The word fee? Or
the phrase. And isn't that why it's ambiguous?
With all due respect, I don't see it's ambiguous at all. It seems to me the ultimate question is, was this lady paid to use her car for whatever pizza? And she was in the form of the wage. I don't think there's any ambiguity about that.
Well, the mere fact you didn't put in your policy for business purposes is the reason why we're here.
Well, again, I would describe the, yes, their phrase business purposes is not in there, but I would describe the exclusion as comprehensive.
You say the phrase for a fee or for business purposes mean the same thing?
Yes, I guess I don't really see the distinction. You're getting paid a fee for conducting business. You're engaging in business activity for what you receive the fee. I think the two are related. Business fee is a result of conducting business.
Well, somebody says, I have a dog that I need to get up to Cleveland. And the neighbor says, okay, I'll take your dog. And the person says, well, the dog's, it may wet in your car, it may do lots of things. The person says, all right, that's okay, but I'll do it, but pay me $25. I'll take your dog to Cleveland and deliver it where you want it delivered. Business or an act of friendship among neighbors?
In that case, I consider friendship.
For a fee. She does it for a fee, right? She drives the dog to Cleveland for a fee.
Well, she didn't say, if you pay me $25, I'll drive your dog there. In this case, you pay me my hourly wage, I'll deliver the pizza. I think there's a distinction.
Well, but I think to pick up on Justice Sweeney's question, every case in which a fee is paid is not for a business purpose, is it? Unless you consider that taking someone's dog, your neighbor's dog, to Cleveland, business purpose, that's a stretch, isn't it?
Well, I would consider a $25 payment to take a dog cleaning fee, and I think you may help out with expenses or something like that.
Make it $50.
I was making it more reliable, and still, I think that's, a responsible paper. To conclude, I would simply ask that this board first, the lower appellate's decision, thank you for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Malika. Mr. Willard, you saved almost a minute of your time.
Thank you, Governor. I have just a couple of points to make. Again, if you accept the lightning rod position in this situation, there are going to be a number of situations that will arise where there's not going to be coverage. I think it's better public policy for this court to find coverage under the lightning rod policy and allow the insurance industry to respond with a non-ambiguous, more specific exclusion than it is to say that there's no coverage and allow thousands of people at a later date to find out, gosh, under these circumstances, I don't have the liability coverage.
Well, all these policies have an exclusion in them. Yours will have too. Would you be denying coverage here?
We did not deny coverage.
No. If you were a lightning rod, your policy, USF&G, has an exclusion for fee purposes. Every policy does.
Generally, that's true, yes.
Now, supposing USF&G had insured, wouldn't you be claiming... Oh, that what?
We will give our insured the benefit of the doubt.
Sure. The only thing I'm amazed at with two insurance companies arguing how you haven't made this woman totally at fault.
Was this a period of time when Domino's was requiring delivery within 30 minutes?
No, ma'am. No, that's an antiquated concept, ma'am. I would also like to say one other thing. Going back to my law school days, I remember my federal taxation course where the professor said the government looks at income with a very broad brush and deductions with a very narrow one. And I think the same applies here. In terms of a grant of coverage under an insurance policy, it should be with a broad brush, and looking at exclusions to that coverage should be done on a very narrow basis. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Willard. The case is submitted. You'll be advised of our opinion.